This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Check out DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC. New users can bet $1 on Conor McGregor to win by a knockout in the first round, and if he does, you'll be cashing in $257. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using the code FANRUN in all caps. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Restrictions apply. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
We kick off hour number two of the program. This segment brought to you by Knoxville Smiles. Check them out online at KnoxvilleSmiles.com and make your appointment. Take care of those teeth in 2021. Doctors Mullen and Costa got you covered right here in West Knoxville. KnoxvilleSmiles.com to make an appointment. Houston, you said we needed to, break it all down, sort it all out. But then we kind of got a little sidetracked with all the names. So I guess it was kind of based off Matt's call. I guess it's two separate things. We need to kind of separate legit concerns about the university that is kind of lifeblood around here.
Kinda.
And then the sports aspect of it, the drama part of it, the entertainment part of it, which is just fun. It's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be fun and then it's supposed to be miserable, but in a good way.
Mm.
Right now, the lines are very blurry between those two things. Because not only were we losing, but for the reasons we were losing and the way we were trying to win, it's just a huge embarrassment. So I don't know what to do with that. How are you coping?
I think I'm kind of numb right now. Because we knew it would be bad. Of course, Tennessee's going to probably make the worst decisions possible, right, along the way. Worst timing. But I guess I'm just at the point of, if we make the right hire at athletic director and head coach, you can overcome this in 2 years, right? Mm-hmm. We were talking about it before the show. Jamie Chadwell's quarterback was a true freshman this year. He was a baller. You can get young players, if they're coached well, and compete. No, obviously not against, Bama and Florida and Georgia right away. But next year's schedule ain't that hard. For Tennessee standards, it's actually pretty easy.
Yeah.
Barrett Salee tweeted out last night, it's going to take Tennessee 5 years to get back to a bowl game. It did this to itself. Better start on the sequel to the decade of dysfunction. I don't buy that at all. Mm-mm. Unless we're banned for 4 years.
We'd have played in a bowl game this year if we hadn't gotten COVID.
But we wouldn't.
We would have been 6-6 probably if it was a regular year.
Maybe.
Now, I do agree that the whole, will Tennessee ever be a lead again is a valid conversation. But that depends on what your definition of elite is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's very in my head, few teams that are elite ever. So that's kind of a different measuring stick.
Do you think all this transfer portal news has put even more emphasis on hurrying up when it comes to hiring the AD and the coach?
I don't know how you could have more emphasis. Did they not realize that was going to be really important to begin with? Because if they didn't, then I'm really frustrated. I was hoping that they would do that press conference right then and basically in the next day and a half after kind of have it pretty much done.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be nice if they'd announce the AD tomorrow.
Right.
And the head football coach on Monday and then go. When's the late signing period? Wednesday? Next week?
No, the week after.
Week after Wednesday, yeah. Right?
First Wednesday in February.
So, if you announce a new football coach on Monday, technically, right, all these guys went in the portal, can they all come back?
Mm-hmm.
Theoretically. I know they won't. I know a lot of them won't.
Unless they've already
signed with somebody else.
Do they sign? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
When are they locked in?
Probably as soon as they get on campus.
Do they have to go to class to be locked in?
Yeah, I would imagine.
So I like I, it's still just a big.
You mean log in?
Yeah. Good point. Exactly. The I mean the transfer portal has just made all this very murky, and then the players take all that to social media, and so then it's really murky because you know what they tweet is not. Never binding, right? They can tweet, I've committed here. They can tweet, I've decommitted here.
Right, exactly, yeah.
None of that matters, the grand scheme of thing. They can be swayed. They can be talked out of it. They can be talked into something else. So it's, you know. As a fan, I just don't really know how to – how are people supposed to cope? What are they supposed to do right now? Just, I guess, just sit around and wait longer.
Oh yeah, I mean this is it's purgatory.
There's no real need to freak out yet about new stuff. You can worry that they're gonna screw it up again because they have for 30 years, but you know.
How much of this too? Like, if they had had the press conference on Monday and then they had an AD like yesterday, that would look kind of fishy, right? You think? I mean, I would imagine once this investigation started, surely somebody close to Plowman and Boyd started to say, like, hey, you might want to start looking around and back-channeling. Because they did hire the firm, what, the Friday before?
Before, yeah.
So, hopefully, they had other people kind of channeling, and then they're going to hire the firm, and that way they can give the firm credit and say, no, we weren't doing anything looking for coaches or ADs before we made the decision on Monday. So is this like a, we need to probably give it 4 or 5 days, then we'll announce the AD and then the coach the next week? Maybe. And then that's my question too. Like,
I think you can announce him tomorrow and everybody be like, okay, cool, it took you a week. That's great. That's perfect. That was fast, but not like you already did it. The faster they get Philip Fulmer out of the office, the better too. Like, remember, a new AD comes in, he leaves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was part of the whole sham retirement thing.
Right. He's going to help.
And the most awkward part, I mean, when he said the recruiting thing, that line was gold. But the most awkward part was when they asked Philip Fulmer if he was going to help.
If Dondi wants me to. Eye contact.
It's like awkward. A beaten dog.
Yeah, it's bad.
Man.
It was bad. I just really wonder. Okay, let's just assume that Kiffin and Freeze are off the table.
Okay.
Napier is picky.
Right.
Napier said no to Auburn and South Carolina.
Yeah.
Napier ain't walking into this.
Uh-uh.
He's set up for a big job that's going to be a very easy transition.
When his team's already loaded. Like his from a talent standpoint, I don't know, Davey, maybe look up the rankings on Louisiana and compare it to App State, Georgia Southern, Georgia State, Coastal, all the top teams in the Sun Belt. I feel like Napier's got it. He's had it rolling at Louisiana. The state of Louisiana is a great place to have a really good non-Power 5
sure.
team because there's a lot of good players there. I think he feels like every year when he puts his Louisiana team on the field, they're going to be top of their league. Worst case, they're finishing second or third, right? So, yeah, he's just – I don't care. I mean, the money with these coaches has gotten so much. I mean, we joked that Jamie Chadwell only made $375,000.
Mm-hmm.
Tell that to our average listener. You're only going to make $375,000, and you're going to be 40 minutes from the beach, and everyone's going to love you. Like, okay, yeah, I don't need, you know, like, it's the money's not really that much of a thing anymore.
I have where the Raging Cajuns
94th.
Are.
94th?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's right behind App State at 93.
I mean, those are usually the best teams.
UAB at 92, Charlotte 91, 90, Middle Tennessee State.
Okay.
Just going to give you some.
I'm just saying, like, everyone's like, okay, Napier, you probably get no lower than. I don't know if after all this and still waiting on the.
I don't think Chadwell might not come here if he's not Jamie Chadwell. If it's just some dude at Coastal Carolina who's from.
Oh, no, exactly.
Who's from, Clemson, South Carolina originally. Like, I don't.
That's why everything points to Chadwell.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
If they're not going to call Freeze and Kiffin, which they should, but if they won't, no, Kiffin, I get it.
I just worry they hire some AD who's like, well, I'm smarter than everybody else. I'm not going to do the obvious thing. I'm going to find this random dude over here and show you how great he is. I mean, like, just take the layup, buddy. It's like those competitions where it's like, You can win $5,000 if you make a layup, $10,000 for the free throw, and $20,000 for the three-pointer. Like, financially speaking,
just take the layup.
Even if you're 80% from the free throw line, which no one's going to be with one shot and all that pressure, just take the layup. What, Will? What? Shooting the three ball?
Yeah. Lock of the week.
For the Sun Belt in 2020, the Raging Cajuns finished first in the conference for recruiting. But currently for 2021, they sit in fifth for the conference. Coastal Carolina sits in second.
Nice. Good stuff, Alex. Yeah, you're right. Like,
it just seems too obvious.
I mean, Missouri. Because
what I don't want is a mercenary coach who's going to come in here, you know, just for the money, who doesn't really care about the place, and he doesn't work that hard. Like, Jamie Chadwell would care.
The only way you
Kiffin would care.
The only way you do the mercenary coach is if you know without a shadow of a doubt that everywhere they go, they are wired to just do it that way. And that would, I mean, and the list of that right now is like Nick Saban, Urban Meyer. Done.
Does it stop?
Like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, I don't know. Yeah. I'm sure there are some others I'm not thinking about, but the rest of them,
like Tom Allen maybe,
are kind of doing it where they are, and I don't know if they went somewhere else if they do it at the same level. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, exactly. Like, you have to hire a guy who knows how to build, who's done hard resets before, who is an offensive mind. I think that's why Bill Clark is just not on my list.
You know what cracks me
up? It's Chadwell.
You know what cracks me up about people saying you can't hire Jimmy Chadwell, he's only had one good year. Missouri, who make all the jokes you want, but I mean, their program looks as good as ours at least at the moment. They hired Eli Drinkwitz. Guess how many years he had been a head coach total?
One. Was it really?
He went 12-1 at Appalachian State.
Inherited
One that was already rolling.
Right.
Jamie Chadwell has rebuilt three programs.
Three programs. Everyone loves him everywhere he's been. He would.
Three programs are all much. I mean, we're all down.
He would absolutely take the job. Oh, not to mention he's from here, cares, is obviously a hard. Yeah. Well, I don't care about that. I just.
No, I'm talking about from the offensive standpoint. Like, It goes to his philosophy and which side of the ball he's good at.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the quotes he gave? I don't even remember what it was on yesterday. Did you see
his quotes? I just rewatched it again. He just basically
he said
just,
he wanted to play here and wasn't good
enough.
Yeah,
wasn't good enough. I mean, he basically just told everybody how great Tennessee was and how much he loves it, but I'm committed to Coastal. Until he's not, which is why you just need to make the phone call.
Tell me if I'm crazy, but Chadwell just gives me really, really hardcore, like, Appalachian – what was his name? Texas Tech coach. Cliff Kingsbury. Appalachian Chris Cliff Kingsbury. I can't pronounce that dude's name.
No, yeah. I mean,
he's way too attractive to be a football coach. He should probably be in a different profession. Just a lot of different things.
Good offense.
But he sounds good offense, but he
when he played quarterback.
Yeah.
They interviewed him for a game day, and I was like, I feel like I talk to this guy twice a week. Because people I talk to around here all sound like him.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's
which
Anderson County. You know, like right there.
Okay, I know what people are going to say. Well, Pruitt sounded like us.
No,
I know. I'm just saying, like, that doesn't matter. Like, Dooley kind of sounded like us, but Dooley had no winning experience. Like, Chadwell sounds like Jimbo Fisher meets East Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. Well,
not quite as fast, because we all know Jimbo Fisher's just on copious amounts of cocaine. But he's intelligent. Like, there's no, he's just, you ask him a question, boom, here's my answer. There's no, I have to stumble around and kind of think of what to say. He has a plan.
Yeah, no, someone tweeted out and it was like, it's good to see a coach who has a southern accent who can also form a sentence in English.
Right, and answer questions intelligently.
Mm-hmm.
And probably knows what asparagus is.
I would imagine, he probably knows what asparagus is. Nick tweets in and says, after that interview, I am sold on Chadwell 100%.
What was that on? I didn't remember.
I said the name yesterday. It's like some – I can't remember.
Oh, it was
something with Bucky Brooks and somebody else,
never
I think.
Mind. You also referenced a writer.
There might have been another one. He might be doing a bunch of interviews just to get asked publicly about the Tennessee job.
I mean, he's gone on a bunch of radio stuff here. Mm-hmm. We'll come back with more. Stick with us. Hour 2 continues on 3 and Out. light had come in. Hour two continues. This segment brought to you by Off Leash Canine Training. Check them out online at olk9.dog. Tell them you heard about them right here on Fan Run Radio. Do a great job with your canine. All different types of training options. Just Google Off Leash Canine Training. There's probably one near you. I love message board topics. For everyone that thought it was the best this year to get rid of Pruitt, do you still think it was the best decision?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Doesn't this prove it more than disprove
yes,
it?
Yes, I don't understand the logic. So we were supposed to keep the guy who was cheating his ass off?
They're like,
and
well, now we have to start all over.
Yeah.
We were 3-7. We were already starting. That makes no sense to me. Yeah, I love the hope you're happy. It's like, what? I didn't fire him.
I didn't hire him.
But I am happy. This was the right decision. He was going to tank the program even further.
You guys,
I hope you all understand now why it's important to not start screaming for a coach to be fired because of one bad season.
Yeah, that was the one bad season was the problem. Godly, these people are so delusional.
It should have been enough of a problem,
right?
But I mean, what? I just don't understand that. Like, those are the most diehard Tennessee everything. They do no wrong. Like, these players were here not because of Tennessee, but because of bags of cash. Like, their loyalty was to the guys paying them, not to the T.
Henry Toa Toa, all the way out in California.
He's our Laquon Treadwell. Why would this inside linebacker who Alabama craves come to Tennessee? Bags of cash.
We need to kind of talk about that. I love Kevin Simon, but are they seriously thinking about putting him as the linebackers coach? Like, that was the talks just to keep Henry.
Well, I hope not now.
Was that they went on a trip to California, right? Was that not the main mission of the trip?
Yeah.
Yes. To talk to
yes.
Henry T.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but then they all got fired.
Do you think that's what they said to him before, when they got there?
What?
Well, Kevin Steele happening? Went too.
Our substitute teacher.
Yeah.
Chaperone.
I don't know what
not a bleeping substitute teacher.
I don't know what they said. I mean, it was right before they got fired. So,
but then he tweeted out like, "All right, I'll come back." But Pruitt also said he had no idea he was getting fired until he got fired.
I know for a fact that Pruitt told a player like the day before it all fell apart. The player asked Pruitt, "Coach, are you going to be the football coach this year?"
When you say fell apart, I need you to be more specific.
A day or two before the presser,
a
player
gotcha.
Asked Pruitt point blank, "Are you going to be the coach?" And he said,
"Well,
today I'm the coach at Tennessee." He said, "I'm the coach today," which is that. I mean, if that didn't tell you, I mean, they knew. Like,
does the man not know how to speak in anything other than statement of fact?
I mean, yeah, it's that.
I think Fulmer didn't think it was going to be that bad. Again, that's just an opinion.
No, Fulmer was the most, I mean,
he oblivious. Because yeah, like you saw how he looked and how he acted during that presser, which.
Recruiting's been good.
That's going to haunt him.
He was really well prepared.
You should have fired it. You could fire him for cause for saying that, probably. Just for being a big idiot.
Here's what Jamie Chadwell said. "I love Tennessee. My family is there. I grew up a huge Tennessee fan. I wanted to play at Tennessee, but I wasn't good enough. I love the state of Tennessee. I grew up a volunteer, my family being there, that place means a lot to me."
We're going to screw this up.
Yep. Yep. Joe Rexroad has an interesting article up on The Athletic right now. Anonymous coaching quotes. He's asking coaches about what's going on at Tennessee and cheating in the SEC.
Oh, yes. Read them.
oh, we get to guess. Yes.
Oh, well, they're not necessarily SEC coaches, so who knows?
I'm just going to pretend they're all SEC coaches. Let's go.
So he was asking the coaches about just cheating in the SEC. One coach said, "I don't know if you have to cheat in the SEC or if everyone just does cheat, but it's different in that league." Fascinating. Mm-hmm. Another coach said,
"Let's guess, Malzahn.
If you're a top 20 program, there's something going on. And if you're not, you're an outlier." Like, I guess if you're not cheating and you're a top 20 program, you're an outlier. The question is, are you living in the gray area or is it black and white and you're just disregarding the rules? Bags of cash? Come on now. But if that's what was happening at Tennessee, are you going to tell me that they're the only ones who were doing it? I know for a fact they're not.
That's Mark Stoops.
You're just going to guess every time?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the next question was, does the nature of Jeremy Pruitt's firing concern you? One coach said this, it's just a shame, and Tennessee should never be where it is right now. I don't know all the details on the recruiting deal, but it looks to me like everybody turns a blind eye to whatever's going on, and then it's, okay, now we want to get rid of our coach, he's losing, so let's use it. It just seems like it's being used as a reason to fire one coach and get another, and that job, I mean, they'll find someone, but this is just a dumpster fire right now.
Mm, Will Muschamp.
Another coach asked about how the firing influences his perception of Tennessee. Quote, it gives me a little bit of pause for sure. What's going on with the leadership there? Is everyone on the same page? Are the boosters too influential? Yes. Are there factions fighting?
Always.
This is going to spook some people, but I want to know exactly what went on, all the illegal things they're talking about. If it was really bad and this was obviously the right thing to do, then I can't blame the administration. Then it looks a little different. You still want to know how it all came out.
That's Lane Kiffin. He's kind of posing some questions about how bad it actually is before he would take the job.
I think that one's right, yeah.
I'm 4 for 4.
Never be wrong with this game.
I'll message Joe after the show.
Mm. You know, Janeway made a good point. We haven't lost that many players on offense. We just got to score a lot of points. Got Cody Brown coming in, running back. That Chow offense cooking. Just bring McCall. Salter's coming. Let's go.
The next question. Are we underestimating just how bad Jeremy Pruitt was? One coach said this. He was the wrong guy. That's obvious. He looked like a freaking idiot from where I was sitting. He just wasn't ready. What was he, a high school coach, then at Georgia and Alabama? He's just in over his head. Is he a good football coach? I can't tell you that because I haven't tucked enough ball with him. But a job like that, is can you keep your team together and can you lead? I don't think he can. And leadership at that level is a different deal. It's not just your team. You've got 60 people in your office looking up to you, and he's firing people, fired his D-line coach in the middle of the season. What is that? He was the wrong guy, and it became a bleep show.
Mm, that's Eli Drinkwitz.
I think that's Saban.
I thought that was Dan Mullen.
UT has had some really good classes, and you wonder how it worked out like this. You have some serious talent and then nothing on the other side of it. Your program isn't making the jumps it should make. Why is that? I think we all know. Another coach. I think the biggest thing about Pruitt's tenure is he never had a quarterback who could win him football games. And if you're looking at the guys who've gotten fired in that league, a lot of times it's the guys who couldn't find a quarterback. You aren't having success at any level without one. If you think about it, your quarterback is your culture. And if they don't match, you're fighting it on every snap. That's Chadwell.
JG is our culture.
Basically, that was good.
Last one. I know Jeremy a bit. I think he'll be fine.
Kirby.
He's got people like Saban who will eventually help him rehab his career like he does with everyone. If Pruitt doesn't get a show cause, just watch. He'll be an analyst next year at Alabama, and then the DC will be there sweating bullets.
Yeah.
Definitely Kirby.
All right. Back to Jamie Chadwell quickly before the break. If the quarterback is your program, Grayson McCall, Coastal Carolina's quarterback this year, he was a redshirt freshman this past season.
Indian Trail, North Carolina.
Oh, sorry, is he a redshirt freshman?
Yes. Okay. So the 6'3", 200-pounder, dual threat. I want to say in one of the broadcasts I was watching, he threw very few passes in high school, hence the redshirt year and then the coming out of high school from Indian Trail, North Carolina, the 6'3", 200-pounder, Porter Ridge High, was ranked 2,889th in the country. That's the 66th best dual-threat quarterback in the country, the 111th best player in the state of North Carolina. His rating, 2 stars, .7902. In his redshirt freshman season at Coastal Carolina, he went 172 of 250 through the air. That's 68.8%. 2,488 yards, 10 yards per attempt. Or sorry, 10 yards per attempt, 26 touchdowns, 3 picks. He added on the ground 111 carries for 569 yards. That's 5.1 yards per carry and 7 more touchdowns.
JG was the number one dual-threat quarterback in the country.
Hour two continues right here on Three and Out. This segment brought to you by the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Make sure and download FanDuel Sportsbook app. Use our promo code 3OUT. They've got you covered with a wide range of betting options. And, of course, you got the single-game parlays coming up this weekend, the AFC and NFC championship games in the NFL. Cannot wait for that. It's a great way to bet the games. You know, typically you got all the games in the NFL weekend or on a normal Sunday. When there's only a couple games, the same-game parlay is the way to go. Hit it up with the FanDuel Sportsbook app if you already have it. Or if you don't, make sure and download it. Use our promo code 3OUT and you get in on the same-game parlays this weekend in the NFL, AFC, and NFC championship games. It's the perfect way to make the playoffs even more exciting this weekend. They also have the same-game parlay insurance, too. $25 back if you fall one leg short. So check that out with the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Use our promo code 3OUT when you sign up. We love it. You will, too. Just, it's time to jump in if you haven't yet. Use promo code 3OUT. Must be 21 or older and present Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires 7 days. Max refund $25. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
Can Tennessee be elite again?
Depends on what you mean by elite. I mean, they can. Like, come on. If Clemson can, if Alabama can, Tennessee can. But will they is a whole different question.
The coaches in this article by Joe Rexroad were asked if Tennessee can be elite again.
Oh, what'd they say?
Interesting answers.
Uh-huh.
One coach said, it just seems like there's been a lot of, in just the last decade, a lack of leadership. They haven't had the right leadership in the administration, both above the athletic department and in all the coaches they've gone through. It just seems like a lot of stuff goes on there that for people on the outside looking in might scare you away. And if you see what's gone on for the last month and a half, I don't see how that helps at all. Expectations for the next coach. Is the next guy going to be Tennessee's version of Matt Luke? Take a depleted roster, clean things up, clean the image up, but don't really get the opportunity to win. Just make it a great job for a bigger fish to come along. And then this one I like. I don't know who any of these guys are. I've always thought Tennessee was one of the best jobs in America my entire coaching career. The passion, the alumni, the fans, like Nebraska or Arkansas, a school in a state where it really doesn't have any competition. Great history, great tradition, great facilities. And if there isn't enough talent in the state, you draw a circle around Knoxville, go 300 miles in any direction, and you've got more than enough. A different coach said, I mean, you've got 107,000 people showing up to your games in a non-COVID season. They're fanatics. You don't have that at many places. You need someone who can rally an entire state around that program again. You can absolutely win a national championship at Tennessee. I firmly believe that. One coach said, I mean, it's irresistible. Are you kidding me? You've got all the bleeping tools to be great. We've always said that, right? You got everything you need. Geography, facilities, money, fan base. You got it. You just can't mess it up.
Yeah, I'm out on Matt Hayes. He wrote the opposite a couple days ago.
Of course.
He said we're Nebraska.
We're not Nebraska. I don't think.
I don't either. We may never get there because we're just too stupid, but everything is there that you need. Let's go to the phone lines. G3 Help Me Hotline. We got T-Carp up next. What's up, T?
Hey, guys. A competent head coach can do it. A competent head coach can win 8, 9, 10 ball games every year, just like they do at Georgia, and be competing for SEC championships. And if you compete for SEC championships, you get into the national championship playoff. And playoff, anybody can win. Like, it's a crapshoot. It's a one game at a time. So, you know, a competent head coach, you know, realistically, in 5 to 10 years, could take us to a national championship. I truly believe that. Now, where do you find a competent head coach? Well, we talked about last hour, your three guys on your board, Lane Kiffin, Hugh Freeze, and Jamie Chadwell. I do not think they're going to bring Lane Kiffin back just because of the stigma of he left us in a situation. I just don't think that'll happen. Would I love it to happen? Heck yeah, I would. Same with Hugh Freeze. You guys said, I can't remember the chancellor's name. I apologize.
Don DePlumb?
They were saying something about you can't be an NCAA investigate or, you know, sanctions or issues and then bring someone who's previously had them. So that kind of, like you said, takes Hugh Freeze out of it. Bring me Jamie Chadwell. And I've said it 3-4 months ago because, I said the other two guys are not realistic. Chadwell put up a fight against Hugh Freeze's Liberty, okay? The guy can coach. We've seen that. He's a Tennessee guy. I don't see the problem here. I know you got to get your AD and stuff, but, like, that seems really easy. Am I looking at it incorrectly? Because that looks easy to me.
Nope. Nailed it.
Go ahead.
You nailed it. I mean, it is easy.
The guy can take crap talent. The guy can take 2 and 3 stars and win you 5-6 ball games. That's all you have to win the first year. And then recruiting starts, like good recruiting. You get those 4 and 5 stars in. But he can take 3 stars and win you 5-6 ball games. Can we all agree on that?
Yep.
And if we win 5-6 ball games and give Alabama, Florida, and Georgia a run for their money, as in not get blown out by 20 points, everyone's happy, are they not?
At least you get started, for sure, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, I'm talking the very first year.
Yeah, oh yeah.
We don't lose to Kentucky, we don't lose to Vanderbilt, and we beat everybody else we're supposed to beat. I guarantee you the fan base will be happy. There will be 70,000 people for the spring game like there was with Lane Kiffin and all the rest of the jokers that we've had the past decade. And then after that, you can start winning 7, 8, 9 ball games. It is not hard. Tennessee just needs to hire a decent athletic director that can look at a piece of paper and basically say, or just a competent athletic director and say, this is our hire, let's move on. I guarantee you pay him $2 million and a zero buyout and say, here is the best situation in college football right now. I've given you, you have all the tools to be great. Here is being great. I bet you he can do it. I hope Tennessee does that, and it's easy. I'm just a guy driving down the road listening to a radio show. Y'all be good.
Thanks for the call, T-Carp. Well said. We'll come back with more. Stick with us. Back to the phone lines if you want to weigh in, 865-546-8200 on the G3 Help Me Hotline. More Hour 2 next. Final segment, hour number 2 of the program. Pleased to be joined next on the G3 Help Me Hotlines by Rod from the Farm. What's up, Rod?
How you doing this morning?
Just thinking about entering this transfer portal.
Well, I tell you what, now, I got a good question for you.
Uh-oh.
I didn't think one. I've had good night's sleep, so Rod's brain's got good exercise last night with some good talks.
Mm.
It's a lot better to sleep on one of them one-inch mattresses they give you over there in the penitentiary.
Uh-huh.
Now, what's the old fat boy's name over there in Arkansas that used to be here?
Sam Pittman.
Pittman. How many high star players and things like that he have over there this year?
Not many.
Not many, right?
Right.
And it's which job's better, Tennessee or Arkansas as a whole?
Tennessee.
Well, so if we bring somebody in here that's got no some X's and O's and has got half a brain and don't just stutter around and wear oversized khakis all the time, don't you think that we could still be competitive, even losing these guys with a good strategy?
Yeah, I think so, Rod.
If Arkansas can do it in the West and go 500, and Missouri, has Missouri ever had that many high-profile players?
No.
Never.
Hell no. So if these teams can do it, why can't Tennessee do it if they get the right guy in here?
They can, but can they get the right guy? Are they willing to get the right guy?
Well, I think whoever was calling there in front of me now, I think he's right. You ain't no way you're getting Freeze. Ain't no way you're getting Kiffin. Ain't no way you're getting Gussie Malzahn because he ain't coming here if Steele is here.
Mm-hmm.
You're going, like I said yesterday, let's get the boy from the pilot, get him up here. He's got some strategy. I think he knows what he's doing, and let him take these boys and coach them up. We ain't had the boys coached up in a while. That was our big complaint about the guy's name I don't say anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He never got the players coached up. Well, did Pruitt do that much better?
No. No one got better. They all got worse. Either. They all got worse.
Yeah. And so I just think if we can get somebody in here that knows a little bit of X's, O's, got some pretty good offensive mind. I mean, the league, 10 years ago, it's the defensive league. It's turned into look at Alabama. How many points a game they score this year?
Probably 40-something.
It's about points now, boys. It's about offense.
Amen.
We had a crappy offense for Pruitt's whole tenure here. But I talked to Gary last night. He said he wasn't even sure if there was a Wilson basketball present at the practice yesterday. So I told him, I said, I bet there probably wasn't. And he also told me, I told him Yens was asking about Juanita. Gary's done got on your website and told me I got famous over there. And he said that yeah, he heard Yens ask about Juanita, and he knows that Davey's always kind of had a thing for Juanita, and he said that Juanita's dating a little boy named Julio, so Davey's maybe a little bit behind if he don't get going.
It's off season until after the 14th of February, Rod, so we'll have to wait a little bit.
All right, well, I just let you know, Davey. I know
appreciate you're
always
the heads up, buddy.
Hey, Rod, tell Juanita I said what's up, though.
Okay. What's your name, Alex?
No, that was Will.
Will. Oh, that was Will. Oh, sorry, Will. I'll let him know.
I'm not interested anymore.
You said hello. But listen now, boys. We got to get this thing straightened out. I think, like you were talking about that article, I think we absolutely can get the football program turned around, get this thing energized. But right now, my main focus, too, is we got to get Barnes. Get him going, get the team going, get a little heart back in him. All right, boys, I love you, and I'll talk to you later. So good to be back.
Just glad I got a good night's sleep.
Yeah, Rod, first good night's sleep after coming out of the penitentiary. So good for him.
Good for him.
Yeah. Glad to have him back on the board. What a time to get out, though. Whew.
Might have just stayed in.
Yeah, you get out, and everything's going down. Man. All right. From Rod, we go to Roberto. What's up, Roberto? You're on 3 and Out.
No, I can't follow that call. Why did you do that to me?
Sorry, buddy.
He's awesome, man. He's the best. I'm like smiling ear to ear. It's so nice. Oh, man. He's ball energy, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, who needs coffee when you have Rod in the morning?
Yeah, there you go.
Let Rod coach up the boys. Probably play better.
Good Lord, they'd win 5 or 6 freaking games next year.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Effort would not be a problem.
Guys, it's so... It's odd. Can you hear me okay? I want to make sure
yeah,
we can
got you.
Can you hear
great
me
got
okay?
You.
Okay. So it's odd to me that, okay, so this is like a 3-prong process of how this ball with football and all the stuff, allegations got rolling downhill. But have you guys heard the same that I've heard, that actually Kirby Smart in Georgia started this thing? A lot of it.
I've heard that mentioned. I don't know if it's true. But, yeah, I mean, I've heard them toss some stuff around.
Yeah, can we labor under that supposition maybe just a little bit? That maybe they didn't start at all, but they added to the ball that was rolling downhill.
I'd agree with that.
Okay. So my thought is, at this point, if the ball was rolling downhill and the boosters and Don DePlowman and Boyd were looking to get rid of Pruitt, or mm-hmm. maybe they weren't, but they were at least looking into, like, what the heck is going on and why are we hearing these things?
Right.
And from what I understand, and maybe you guys, again, call me wrong if I'm wrong, it's fine. But what I understand is she basically had a meeting with Fulmer and Pruitt, I think individually, and basically said, hey, what's going on? And apparently they lied to her.
Mm.
And that's like the stuff that was said the other day on the internet and in that conference, it's all lip service.
Mm-hmm.
Donda Plowman knows how the game is played. She's been at Texas. She's been at Nebraska. My supposition is that she's okay with bending the rules, playing in the gray. I would imagine that she is. I would imagine that most chancellors who've been around a bit are, okay? And I would imagine that Randy Boyd is as well, because he's been around. He knows how this stuff works, okay? So fast forward to just don't lie to me. It's like one of the, you ever heard that? You can say whatever you want to me, just don't lie to me, and mm-hmm. don't lie to my face. And I am under the understanding that they lied to her face. And that's why she, a lot of people saw through what was going on with Fulmer through gritted teeth. She was livid the other day. And so let's just say all that got rolling downhill. Well, at some point, you look at the writing on the wall, and if you're a smart person, and Randy Boyd, do not underscore enough, or we can't underscore enough how smart and savvy that guy has been through all this. He's a good businessman, you know, and a good businessman can see a writing on the wall before it's about to happen. I think Tennessee goes, well, the ship is getting ready to go down and sink, and it's already on fire. So while we're at it, let's go ahead and dump this guy. I really do believe that's how this came about. I don't know if they started out trying to fire him or not. I do believe that they weren't happy with his performance, but from everything in the last 48 hours of people I've talked to, is it really wasn't set out to start like that. But then you start lying, and then you start sweeping. It's never the lie, it's the cover up, right, guys?
Mm-hmm.
And from what I understand, the ball just got rolling downhill, and it got rolling downhill, and then they said, you know what? They opened up that case file, and they go, holy crap, guys, we're going to be sanctioned in the freaking Stone Age. So basically, they just did it to themselves. You know, everybody's like, oh my gosh, we've nuked the program. Dude, they were going to freaking nuke our program anyways. I have now heard double-digit level one violations.
Oh, good.
Good God. Double-digit level one violations, guys. They were going to nuke us anyways. So how about nuke yourself so you can at least have some measure of control? Have we even thought of that as a fan base? Because there's a lot of people out there upset today. We nuked our program. Look at what's happening. Guys, those players, a lot of them that are in that transfer portal, were probably not going to get to play here anymore anyways.
Yep. No, I think you're right.
If you've heard some of the names, I know you guys hear things that I don't even hear. But if you've heard some of the names that I've heard were receiving assets, as it were, guess what? They weren't going to be playing here anyways. It's good for them. They're kids, man. They need to go see if they can make their living somewhere else. You know, ironically, we were paying them so well, but,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you see where I'm going here? Like, this was all probably going to happen anyways. It just looks like we're doing it to ourselves when really either way, this was going to happen. Do you see where I'm walking here?
Yep. Thanks for the call, Berto. We got to run up against the hour. It's kind of like having a nuclear submarine, right? And saying, this thing is a mess. And we can, you know, if we're about to be captured, we're going to scuttle the ship. Like, we're just going to take it down ourselves, because if we let the NCAA have this thing the way we built it, it's going to be much worse for us.
Yeah.
Let's just go down with the ship, and then, you know, the rest of our fleet of other subs that are built this way, they won't, the opponent doesn't have the technology now. They won't know. We'll just get out from under it and start fresh. We'll come back, kick off hour number three next. If you're on the phone lines, hang tight. We're coming right back to you when we start hour three. Stick with us on Three and Out.